Hi, welcome back to the Chasing Tone Podcast. I'm Max.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Brian.
that's nice. You're going to put me out of work.
For your host, please give a big hand for the one, the only, one man, one voice, Travis Feaster.
You sounded angry on that one.
From the land of snow and tacos, it's Travis.
Land of snow and tacos.
I got nothing here.
No, it seems like that would be a warm weather food.
Tacos are an all-the-time food.
It's true. We had taco, except for my wife has now started to, she thought she was being sneaky. Okay, you're never going to be able to sneak turkey burger for beef burger and me not notice.
Ground turkey isn't bad. I'll have to say that.
What is it again? She will substitute beef burger with turkey burger. Yeah. It doesn't. It's a texture. The taste isn't bad. You really can't tell. But it's a texture.
It tastes the same?
It
tastes pretty close. Yeah,
especially like if you're using it in sketty and tacos, you're not going to taste
sketty.
It. Yeah, if you're going to.
It's usually
Pasquetti. Just sketty.
He's a guitar player for Florida Georgia Line, right? Tyler Sketty?
That's Shirelli.
That's Tyler Shirelli.
Tyler Shirelli. Tyler, I'm sorry.
No, I'm joking.
Please excuse my friend Max.
Former friend.
You may remember my former friend. Max.
Yeah, you may remember my former friend Max.
That guy
is a tone nerd.
Yeah,
he has cool gear too.
Oh, right? Tons of gear.
He has a Cornish collection.
That's awesome.
A collection, and I'm not talking the game hens, bruh.
No, I know trauma.
Yeah, the pedals. Yeah, the buffered bypass
guy. He wins
the
gear game.
He does. Yeah, he pretty much wins.
He started.
Yeah.
Guitar techs for. Queen, Brian May.
What's that?
He was Brian May's guitar tech forever.
Tyler was?
No, Cornish.
Oh, Pete Cornish.
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, what?
Yeah. For cereal? No, for
Cornish. Okay. I was like, I'm going to have to text him and ask him about that. Be like, dude, why didn't you tell me this?
Jerk. Can't keep like that for me.
Okay, so let's get to the topic, right? Yep. This is one that at first when I read it, I was like, eh. You know, I was like, you know, whatever. And then I started thinking about it, and we started talking about it. And we're like, man, there's actually a lot to say there,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so Mark Schumacher, I know a girl named Carissa Schumacher, and she goes by Schumacher, but I also know another person named Schumacher. So I'm sorry, Mark. I don't know how you say it. I'm going to say
Indiana,
Schumacher.
I think it should be Shoemaker.
That's what I think so too.
Mark S. writes.
Yeah, Mark S. writes. I love your radio voice.
Somebody actually said, like, Max should talk like that for the entire episode.
I know.
I saw that. You should. Okay.
That'd be terrible.
Okay.
That'd be awesome.
Speaker positioning at a gig, whether a combo or a separate cab. This can have a huge impact on your perceived tone, whether the cab is flat on the floor, tilted back, raised on a stand, etc. I would like to hear your preferences and pros and cons of each. The pros of cons is you can make a lot of money.
It's a Star Trek movie. Yeah. The pros of cons.
Okay. So who first? I mean, I got a lot of experience with it, but you probably got experience with it too.
I think it's all about the ohms.
It is? Really? You think it all comes down to impedance?
No, not really. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I played with guys who had their amps really bright. So you're hearing it in the monitor, like, oh my gosh, that's bright. But the amp is hitting the back of their leg, and they're turning up the presence of the treble, trying to compensate for what they're hearing next to
them.
And, I mean, sometimes it's very misleading whenever you have an amp there, you know? I mean, where you, like we've talked about before, where you put that mic is very dependent as well. So, I mean, I think there's kind of an art to... It's probably better to tilt your amp back if you can.
I couldn't disagree more.
Really?
I'm going to side with Travis on this.
I mean, I love the way it sounds when it's sitting on the floor, but I think it's too misleading whenever, at least for me, whenever I'm playing an all-night, a four-hour gig, and I'm starting to lose high-end anyways, and it just gets muddier and muddier and muddier all through the night. But if it's aimed at my ears, it's a little more accurate, it seems.
I totally get it. It makes perfect sense. I just know that... See, this would be great to get a guy like Dean Birdsong on here, man.
Yeah. But I didn't hate lifting it up off the floor. I got to hear it on the floor.
Yeah, because I don't listen to the cap. I listen to the cone. You know what I mean? Like, I listen to... what I like to hear in a speaker is... I don't know. You never sit. Here's the.
I mean, I don't want it aimed at my head.
Right.
I just don't want it aimed at my shoe.
Okay. You know? To me, I still maybe I'm just so, and I know it's just a habit thing. I'm so used to hearing it aimed at my pant leg. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But for instance, there's this club I play a lot called the Slippery Noodle in Indianapolis, and the backstage, the amps are. I would say the feet of the amps. If you're sitting down in there, it's a raised stage. So if you're sitting down in the audience, then I would say the speaker is like right at the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
So just barely above your ears.
Right.
So I get what you're saying there. You know, you might want to tilt it back so it's not ripping people's heads off. But at the same time, I hate hearing anything other than the amp coming at my legs. I don't know why. Like, I'm a diva for it because we did this festival, and I mean, you remember this? We did this festival. It was Bedford, Indiana, and apparently, I was the only guitar player there, the only one, and I wasn't even a jerk about it. I just asked. I said, "Hey, man, I'd really prefer," because I had a head in a 212.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of these kind of skinny trailers or whatever that they mm-hmm. put outside. Mm-hmm. And so there, it wasn't a lot of depth to it. So I wanted to put it off to my left and kind of pointed back at me, but on the floor. Okay, so kind of like a side fill.
Yeah, so you got some room, though. You're talking probably 10 feet away, right?
Right.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying now, I'm talking about the normal VFW stage is probably about 5 foot wide.
Oh.
And it's literally up against my calf.
Yeah.
And I'm not hearing anything but the low-end frequencies of the stage rumbling.
I don't know if I'm not trying to... This is going to sound arrogant, but I don't know if I do a lot of gigs like that.
Right. Yeah, you know what I mean? A lot of bigger gigs. Than
I do a couple. I like a really, really long chord. I actually go out in the audience to see what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's what it sounds like
on
stage.
I go wireless. I do. I'm wireless.
Someone asked that on YouTube, actually, if you prefer wireless or... Both you guys, actually.
Here's
your wireless unit is pretty cool.
Yeah, my wireless is great, and it's the cheapest one that this company makes. It's the G30 from Line 6. You get what you pay for in the receiver pack, though. Mm-hmm. The battery wants to fall out of it. The hook never stays on your strap.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a strap that I've basically just designated to that system, mm-hmm. and it fits on there, so I'm fine there. But it's got that cable length simulator on it. And it sounds real, man. The problem is, though, is it can sound like a buffered guitar signal.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds brighter.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's all about the gig. For instance, if I want the truest tone, I'm probably going to go a cable.
Yeah.
But if I'm selling a party and not the music,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go wireless.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when you do a gig, like if I get a call for a country gig, do you really think the 25 to 35-year-old women out there dancing care what my guitar tone sounds like? No, they want to see you having fun on stage. You know what I mean?
I like to put my high tops on top of the monitor. You know?
What's a high top?
It's like Chelsea boots, only sneaker version.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like that?
I like that.
Then I like to run out, you know, just on my guitar solos, I just run out through the audience of the VFW. You know,
yeah.
And so all the older folks are like, "Where's that boy running around for?" You know,
running around with his guitar. but no. So in geek like that, I mean, I could see tilting it back towards you, mm-hmm. but the thought, the notion of even seeing an amplifier stand. I walked in on a gig one time. You know what? It was a small stage. It was the same festival the year later. Got rained out, so they moved it to this inside building, and it was a real small stage. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, 50-watt head and a 212 cab, and it was a small stage. And I saw somebody else had a Blues Junior up there. Mm-hmm. So I was like, can I use that Blues Junior? And it was on an amp stand. Oh, dude, I had to get it off there.
Oh, my gosh.
The thought of using an amp with an amp stand, it's so unnatural. I mean, think about it. Who practices with an amp that close to their head?
There's a lot of people who use amp stands, though. I've played with a lot of them.
Those people are wrong.
Central Indiana.
They're wrong. They are hash brown wrong.
I mean, there's guys that I know you guys know that use amp stands. And
really?
Yeah.
Then let me know. I'll call
no
them.
No names shall be mentioned.
Tell them they're wrong.
Yeah. Well, if it's Steve, I'll tell him right now, you're wrong, Steve. No.
Steve.
Yeah. But no, I guess I did a gig that way, but I immediately put, and another thing too is, oh man, what do you guys think of having guitar come back through stage monitors? What do you think of that?
Don't like it.
I've had both ways. I've had really good monitors where it sounds good, and then I've had really like bad monitors, no names mentioned.
Man.
It sounds absolutely terrible.
It's going to sound arrogant, but I've played in front of 20 people, and I've played in front of 10,000 people, and never have I had a monitor mix of my guitar sound good.
Really?
Not as, because, I mean, here's the thing. Like I always say, guitar players are so stupid. Mm-hmm. But, like, we spend all this money on all our gear, all our effects. And when it comes down to it, okay, a great amp guy here and locally, his name's Kevin Silva. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unbelievable amp tech, builds amps, da-da-da-da. And he told me, and it really got me thinking, that the two things that really change the sound of your amplifier more than anything are, number one, the output transformer, and number two, the speaker. Mm-hmm. So while we're talking about speakers, we don't just most of the time, guys like us who are really into gear, we don't haphazardly just say whatever speaker's in it.
No, no, no.
You know what I mean?
I've got a stack full of speakers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nope.
Exactly.
Nope.
So, yeah, like, that's one. Or how many times on this show have we been like, you know what's a really good amp? The Deluxe Reverb Reissue, if you change the speaker. You know, how many times have we said stuff like that?
Right.
So we take so much time and pride and energy into picking the perfect speaker for our tone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we've talked about mic technique, which, by the way, there's a great video on YouTube of you demonstrating mic positioning. Mm-hmm. But
cool blog about it too.
Yeah, is there? Okay, yeah. Cool blog. Check out Max's blog. But anyway, you know, there's all that factor. And then when it all comes down, and nothing against sound guys, they're more knowledgeable about that than I am. But you're trusting the tone that you have fine-tuned to your ear, to your specs, to your everything. You're trusting a stranger to put a dynamic microphone into that and run it back through whatever speaker came stock in the cabinet or monitor that he brought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe it's just in my head, but my thing is the bigger the stage, playing in front of that people, the louder I will be on stage.
The times it sounded good is when, before I was doing the pedal gig, I was traveling back and forth to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were doing gigs in various places trying to get the record deal.
Of course.
And there was a few clubs we played there that had really good monitor sound.
I wonder if the sound guys were guitar players.
Well, I mean, here in freaking Nashville, yeah. I mean, half of them are
the
probably...
The dishwasher's a guitar player. Yeah, I mean, and he's better than us.
Yeah, I mean, that was... And that's really... Like, I haven't played anywhere in Indiana where I would want to hear monitor sound.
Yeah, I mean...
Not that everybody sucks in Indiana.
Right. And another thing, too, is when I play live, I'm just not used to hearing my guitar sound in front of me.
That is odd.
I'm not used to it. You know, I will say, it blew my mind a little bit too. There's a pedal manufacturer at NAMM, and they were also with an amp manufacturer. And they were plugging their pedals into these amps, and they had the amps in plexiglass with a microphone through it, and the mic was running straight to a powered speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It actually sounded really good. So I don't know if maybe they changed the speaker or they just EQ'd the amp to that speaker, but it was rocket pedals and divided by 13 amps, I think. No, third power amps.
Third power are pretty good amps.
Was it? Oh, no, they're great amps. Mm-hmm. I think it was third power. I can't remember now.
Rocket was doing that?
Yeah. They were running their pedals into an amp that was behind Plexi, and then it was fed out to a powered monitor.
Really?
And it actually sounded really good. Because I didn't even notice it. So maybe there's some... Maybe it's just the placement, you know? Maybe it's just I'm not used to hearing guitar in front of me and I hate it. You know?
I hate guitar too.
So I hate it in front of me. So, I mean, have you ever had any good experiences with guitar through the monitors?
Nope. Flat on the floor, cowboy, yeah. 410s.
What about in-ears?
Never tried them.
I've never tried them, yeah.
Never tried
them. Never had a need to, I should say. All the gigs I play, I really don't need in-ears, and the guys that play the same gigs as me that use in-ears are stupid.
I've never done gigs where I've needed in-ears. I've done gigs to where the bands before me and after me are doing in-ears.
Sure.
But maybe if I was the headliner. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, if I was a headliner and like, for instance, when we did the gigs with Daughtry, Daughtry would have, you know, he had the same mix through everything. Mm-hmm. Every night, same mix, same everything. He just put them on, knew exactly what he's going to hear. So that'd be pretty sweet.
Sure.
That, and I know, like, if I wear earplug, I can sing better because I can hear myself better.
Okay,
you,
really?
You know what I mean?
It throws me all off.
Oh, no. See, like, I hear myself perfect. So I could see, like, the benefit of that.
I'd have, like, one in and one out or something.
Yeah. So what do you think of in-ears?
Well, whenever I play the Moose Club, you know, it's pretty beneficial to have in-ear monitors because you got to get the you got to get everything just right for that bartender. Yeah. So
what,
I never used them.
My buddy Doug, when he went out on the road with Joe Bonamassa, he did like Royal Albert Hall and all that stuff when they small did that. Stuff, yeah, yeah, when he did that Tour de Force DVD or whatever. Doug's on that, but anyways, you know they. You watch him, and he's got one in ear hanging off on his shoulder. And I was like, "Were you not using it?" He's like, "Dude, I wasn't using any of them." I said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "I use that one as an earplug." I was like, "Are you kidding me?" He's like, "Yeah, I had him just take everything out, and then I just kept one in so I could hear myself." Because he goes, "I was like, so you didn't hear anything else?" He said, "All I heard was guitar." He said, "Joe is so loud." He's like, "You don't even need to put him through the PA."
That's awesome.
That would be unreal, man. But I was talking to Derek Williams from the Jake Owen Band, and I said, "Dude, I don't even need to fret your guitar, but next time I come see you, can you just crank that thing on 10 and just let me with my right hand hit a chord?" And he was like, "You got it, dude." I just want to feel it, you know what I mean? Be able to play that loud.
I think, if I remember right, though, he was telling us he puts like one amp in one ear, the other amp in the other ear, then he has his like torpedo between both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he hears all three,
yeah,
all once.
Yeah, that's nerd level 10,000.
I know.
Which, I mean, but nerd, you know, guys, what?
If you can do it, man, why not?
Yeah. He's doing it, and you know, he's playing in front of 20K nightly, mm-hmm, you know?
Lucky.
Lucky.
But no, that's my whole thing on that. Like I said, I've never tried the in-ears. I don't know. Like Max said, I don't think I've played any gigs to where I'm like, I need in-ear monitors. But then again, if somebody said, you know what, they'll save your hearing, you'll, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, sure.
And if I could find them for the right price.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody wants to send us some, I'll use them.
Yeah, my thing is, like, I don't know. I'm stupid about them. I don't know any. I could learn, obviously. But, like, do you have to use it with your own PA? Do they integrate with other people's PAs? If you do a gig that has house sound, will it freak that sound man out, you know? See what I'm saying?
I think it's basically goes to a wireless pack, doesn't it? So you just have a receiver.
So, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
You mean?
Yeah.
Huh. I thought.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't thunk it. Yeah. I mean,
to me, the geek out on.
Our little 8-channel PA doesn't really have a whole lot of
sense. I know,
right?
My Mackie 808 doesn't really, you know.
I use a vintage Creep Pro Audio with a reverb.
He's got this, true story, he's got a powered head. I'd love to know what year it's from. It's your father's, right?
It's I think, I think he bought it in like 97 or 98.
I don't know. So it might be older than that, dude.
I don't think so. I think it's late 90s.
Dude,
yeah.
The thing has a reverb pan.
Yeah, reverb tank on it.
Springs.
You sit down and it goes.
Yeah, a PA head.
It's awesome.
With springs.
And it sounds okay. I mean, sure. For what it
no,
is.
The only thing is, I noticed last time I saw you play, it distorted real bad.
A little bit, but yeah, I think it's only like 300 watts or something. Mm.
For but it does change diodes in that.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You might need to change the diodes.
You might need to change the diodes. But no, we went off on a tangent on the speaker thing. Wow, I didn't expect that to take us that long. So, yeah.
Guitar players have opinions about gear?
I know,
gear?
About gear and speakers no and such. And that's my new thing. And such, come on. But see, I got you on
what
that.
A nerd.
No, hashtag come on.
See, you used it last episode, huh? But this
I know.
Episode.
I'll use it again. Come on. if it sometimes you're just like come on, and then if it hits you, come on. Nothing.
Sure.
It'll work its way into your vocabulary.
Thank you, Mark S.
Yeah, thank you, Mark S. So let's go to one of our artists, Timo Summers. Right? He writes, it's probably already out there, but boosting an already overdriven amp the perfect way. Okay.
What's perfect?
Exactly. My hair. But other than that, not really. That's a joke. That's
intense, stylish shoes.
That's a joke from perfect. People. Peanut butter is pretty perfect.
It is.
Except for organic.
No. It's not even real.
It's not even real. No, yeah. It's not. Unless you have peanut allergies, then peanut butter is not perfect.
It probably still tastes perfect. You'll just die. It's like me and strawberries.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway,
let's clean it back. So boost.
Boost. Yeah. Brian, I'll let you take this one because you mentioned before the really big shoe, right? Huh?
Really big shoe.
Yeah, but right before you mentioned before the podcast, the three main ways.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm dumbing this down a little bit, but basically you have like complete full boost, so it's full frequencies. Then you have top end boosts, which are going to kind of take off some bottom end. And then you have more like a mid-rangey type of boost, which would be like a tube screamer. Now, obviously, there's other companies that do other things, but that's kind of the three general-ish areas, I would say.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And they all kind of get a different effect. So, I mean, a tube screamer is going to kind of make something a little more crunchy, maybe a little more compressed-ish, I guess.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but let's face it, I don't know. Here, you explain it to me because I don't get it. But let's say on a tube screamer, you turn the gain almost all the way off and then just crank the volume. Is there still clipping going on there?
So the gain's all the way down?
Yeah. I mean, from a technical standpoint.
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, it all depends. There's a limiting resistor in there.
See, this is exactly what I want to know.
Okay, so there's a limiting resistor in there. I think it's 51K stock. Oh, let's get all nerdy. So I think it's 51K. So that it's feedback that's going to the half voltage rail, right? So, nope, I take that back. It's a 51K that is before the gain pot that sets the minimum gain.
Okay.
So when it's on a stock tube screamer, trying to remember, it might be clipping just a smidgen.
Okay,
because what it is, if it's setting that gain. So if your gain is over a certain amount, including the signal coming in, your signal may be a little bit stronger coming in because you have high output pickups, for example,
right, or a pedal in front of it,
right,
or whatever,
yeah. Right. So you may actually get some of that signal that's clipping.
Okay,
but let's just say the average tube screamer, and I changed that resistor to like a 10K because it sounds better. Okay.
Sure.
So, then no, it's pretty clean at that point.
Okay.
Yeah. And you also don't have a bunch of gain, so you don't have a bunch of output volume as well. So you gotta turn up the gain a little bit to get enough output
to get to unity or above for a boost.
Right. And tube screamers are hard anyways because they're not real loud pedals. I didn't hear him.
He's just interjecting for no, because he hasn't spoken for so long, so he just goes volume. It's so faint. Look, you can see it on the waveform. Just very, like, we could go back 20 minutes and all it'll say is, I can't do a straight face.
Volume.
Okay. But go ahead.
I don't remember what I was saying.
But anyways, you're saying that, you know, to be able to get above unity volume, the boost.
Oh, yeah. You have to have to get up a certain.
I guess the reason I ask is because I think I'm wrong when I say this. And after speaking to you, I'm definitely wrong. But to my ear, it seems like if you boost an amp with a tube screamer, you're introducing gain.
Gain or clipping?
I'm sorry, clipping.
You can be, depending on where your gain's set.
Maybe it is for what I'm doing to get above unity volume, or maybe it's just with the tube screamer style pedals that I'm playing.
So let's take the dual fusion, for example. Mm-hmm. That left channel is tube screamerish, right?
Right.
So, but I've also changed it where I added an inverting stage at the end of it, which boosts volume up and flips the phase a little bit. So you actually can get more volume than a standard tube,
right? Yeah, I notice it's way louder. It's way louder, way gainier, way darker. Yeah.
So, but you can turn that gain all the way down and get more output volume than you would
without clipping.
Right.
Okay.
Without. Yeah.
So I guess
I'm using a Telecaster and it's not
high output, right? Yeah. Because I guess where I was going with that is the reason I think like a full frequency boost, like our decibel, versus something like our Clarksdale, which is our tube screamer ish pedal, and. But anyways, I think maybe it is just the frequency that I'm hearing that changes everything, but I swear I can hear some type of clipping in there that tightens up that signal. Or is it tightening up from a frequency standpoint?
Well, you could be hearing some clipping. Are you saying your gain's all the way down?
Yeah.
I'd have to measure it.
Okay.
To be honest with you.
Okay.
I would probably tend to say it's probably not clipping as much, and what you may be hearing is the mid-range frequency boosting.
Right, that's what I was wondering.
Also getting cut, and then the highs being cut, and then the mids getting boosted again with the tone control.
Because that's what a lot of people forget, too, is sometimes what you're hearing isn't what you're hearing. It's the perception of what you're hearing. I know that sounds stupid, but for instance, like I was talking to another builder about Univibe style circuits, and I told him, I said, the thing you need to do on this is you need to add some type of bass control, albeit a switch or a knob, because the perception is whenever you kick on a Univibe style pedal is that it's losing bass. And you're not losing bass. It's just the nature of the circuit. Yeah, the phase. So it's not going to add bass. It's just going to cut it, is what it sounds like.
Well, it could go both ways, depending on what you do with phase. If you boost volume and cut phases off in certain ways, you can get the appearance or the
perception.
The perception of bass boosting when it's actually not really boosting. It's boosting everything and cutting some.
I know what you mean. But I guess what I'm saying is a lot of people need to be mindful that sometimes you're just hearing your perception. You're not. Yeah. That's why I asked about the clipping. Because to me, my perception is that I'm getting clipping, but I'm actually not. And that's mind-boggling. Right?
Sure.
I mean, for example, on a Tube Screamer, with the caps and the circuit in general, you can make it where it doesn't ever cut bass, but only boost mids and treble frequencies. And to your ear, you're still going to think it's a pedal that cuts bass.
Right.
Because it's not cut. It's really, it's just raising everything else up.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So, and that always blows my mind a little bit too. Cause I mean, now that I'm kind of quote unquote in the industry and I get a chance to play a lot of other people's stuff that like, I totally notice that stuff about like, for instance, anything that has an active EQ in it, you can hear it now. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's cutting and adding. And a lot of times it's just a cut.
Right.
So,
which I mean, both have their places.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, sometimes you want a cut. Sometimes you don't want a cut.
Yeah. Now, one thing I have no experience with is the Range Master or treble booster. I've used them before, but never really liked them.
They're good for certain things. I know, like, Brian May used one on the box. I'm not a big fan of it.
Here we go. Let the comments flood in. I don't see the big fuss about Brian May's tone.
I'm sorry.
It's unique.
Jason Wilding just had a stroke.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. Now, the one thing I will say about Brian May is the guy came up with some of the most iconic guitar parts in rock and roll history, and you could argue that if his tone was different, that they wouldn't have had as much effect. I get that.
But what about Boston? Tom
Schultz?
Yeah.
But I mean, here's the thing, with back to the Brian May thing. Yep. I would never want that guitar tone. Let me say it that way. So you can't argue that because that's just my personal... I would never choose that guitar tone. But it's cool, I guess. But yeah, as far as me ever wanting to like dial that in, nah.
I mean, top boosts are handy. Like if you have an amp that as you turn... Like for example, some Fenders. As you turn it up, sometimes the bottom end gets flubby. If you hit it with the top end boost, sometimes it actually gets a really cool crunch to it.
Yeah, see, so. I could use it to like... My thing is I like... When I boost something, I like how it either gets one of two things happens. Either it tightens up a little bit, which would be a mid-range boost, or it gets fuzzy, which is a full frequency boost. You know, I love boosting a drive pedal with a boost, man. It just a full frequency boost, it gives you, it turns it into like just awesome fuzz.
Yeah.
You know.
Without all the other weird things.
Exactly.
Going fuzzies,
yeah. Do you ever use any treble boosters?
No, there's too much treble.
They're too much treble.
Too much treble. No, I never really use one.
You just use Tubies, right?
I had a Texas Rangemaster for about 5 or 6 months and just couldn't ever do anything with it, so I sold it. Yeah. They're great for some rigs, just for my amp and my guitar.
Is Steve Ray Vaughan using one or something, right? No?
No, he never used a Texas Rangemaster, you know. Warren Haynes used one for a long time.
Yeah. Because Cesar Diaz, he's the one that does the big one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was Steve Ray Vaughan's guy, right?
Yep, for a while.
Okay.
Yep. I love his salad.
Diaz. Caesar. Dude, I'm sure I've told you this before, but I just want to throw it back out there. You know what my rap name would be? Little Seizure. Little Seizure. Yeah. I can say that. I have epilepsy. I can play that card. But Little Seizure.
It's awesome.
Not as good as yours, but
vanilla milk.
Yeah, vanilla milk. Yeah. Dude, Max and I have started a band. All right, should we announce our band?
Let's do it.
Okay, we started a band. We're doing 90s hits. Okay, and we got two band names that we're kicking around, and we want you guys to choose our band name. All right, keep in mind it's 90s rock.
90s rock.
90s alternative rock. Max came up with both of these. Okay, so I can't take credit. Number one, I think, is his favorite, and that's Flannel Condom.
Flannel?
Flannel Condom. Flannel Condom. Flannel Condom. My personal favorite is Hammerhead Shart. Think of the logo potential of Hammerhead Shart. I like both. So you guys name our band. We got a gig.
I just call it Pearl Garden.
Pearl Garden. That's pretty good. Yeah. But
so, yeah, so yeah. You guys come up with something more clever. We'll give you a CD when we
record it. We're not going to record a CD of cover songs.
They don't know that.
Hey, Max, remember when you recorded an album?
Shut up.
I think I should.
And that's Chasing Tone. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
In other words, quit ragging on.
But no, we should do an album that's just nothing like rock. We should do rock songs, but in the style of country. 90s country.
That would sell tens of albums.
Isn't that Jason Aldean?
No, that's definitely not Jason Aldean.
Oh, okay. Those are just rock songs.
Those are rock songs.
Those are rock songs
with the cowboy hat.
Yeah. But I mean, that's really all I have to add to the boost thing. You know what I mean? To me, there's no perfect way. It's just whatever you dig, man.
It's like, what's the perfect overdrive?
I tell people all the time, mm-hmm. Use your ears. If it sounds good and it's not popular, who cares?
Yeah, right?
If you're rocking it, rock it.
Did you just say barock it?
We went over this a couple episodes ago. If you're rocking it, then rock it.
Hashtag barock it.
Oh, man. There's so many jokes.
Hashtag Barack you like a hurricane.
That one is pretty good.
Come on. All right, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Leave us a comment or suggestion or whatever on YouTube. Hit us up on Facebook, Chasing Tone Podcast. Hit us up on Insta pages, Chasing Tone Podcast. Check out Max's blog, wamplerpedals.com/blog, chasingtonepodcast.com, which is. What are you doing? Get that away from me.
I'm taking the Instagram videos.
No. Okay. But anyways, leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you guys so very much for listening.
Bye.